been arrested. Jason Walker, IRN USA Radio News.
Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the second hour of the Light of Day radio show with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, June 26, 2010. God, before you know it, the year will be all finished and 2011 will be moving in. Well, I've decided to sort of take a change of course here on my show tonight since I'm so worried I'm not going to get some of my news articles covered, so I'm going to read some news, and then we'll go back to the clip with, or the pre-recorded interview I did with Nancy Leader from this morning, and I might just have to bypass this new soundbite that I made and just post it on my archive page. But anyway, I wanted to cover some news here quick. As far as earthquakes go, there was a 6.7 out in the Solomon Islands. This is what appears to be the most severe one in the last 2 days or so. A 6.7 actually means a 7.7, folks. This one was 22 miles deep. It was happened at 10:30 last night in my time zone, in the Pacific time zone. And initially, the USGS reported this one as a 7.1, and then they downgraded it to a 6.7. And me and John DiNardo do notice a pattern whereby they do downgrade these earthquakes quite frequently. This quake was, the epicenter was 1,280 miles northeast of Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. That's sort of out in that area where the Coral Sea, the seabed floor out there in the Coral Sea had been rising 13 feet a day, so that may be a dot connector that may be noteworthy. We're looking at the quakes here in the U.S. Arkansas had a 2.7 and a 3.3 today. Pretty small, but it is measurable as far as the USGS goes. And on Wednesday, I got an email from my production manager here at the network, or boss, or whatever title you want to clip on him. He told me that he felt an earthquake in the Buffalo, New York area. This happened on the Western Quebec seismic zone at 10:41 a.m. Phoenix time Wednesday morning. Well, this is the last biggest quake for this area was 1935, and that was a 6.1, and that was about 150 miles northwest of this event that happened in Canada. And sure enough, that same day I got an email from my friend John up in Milwaukee reporting that the earthquake in Canada was also felt in Wisconsin. Now, it was specifically felt in the Milwaukee area. Now, folks, Milwaukee is approximately 680 miles away from the Canadian epicenter. I'm going to read to you off what's on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel online webpage here from June 23rd. If you felt the earth shaking Wednesday, it wasn't your imagination. An earthquake centered in what looks like a rural field in Canada shook chairs, windows, and buildings in Milwaukee. The USGS reported that a magnitude 5 quake struck the border region of Ontario and Quebec in Canada at 12:41 p.m. Central Time. People evacuated buildings in Toronto. Many throughout the Midwest reported feeling buildings shake on the social networking website Twitter well before the USGS reported its official recording. I think I also got an email from a listener in, I think it's Indiana. She had also felt it, I believe. She's on my email list. Several people sent emails to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying they felt the sway in. Quote, at first I thought someone was standing behind me, shaking my chair until I turned around. Then I thought I needed to eat lunch and was feeling lightheaded, wrote Jessica Sedlashik, who works at Lutheran Social Services of Wisconsin, just south of downtown Milwaukee. Then there was a storm that, on the same webpage here, I was seeing a storm rolled through Wisconsin this morning, somewhere up in the... Well, it was in the Waukesha and Milwaukee County area, and there's some power outages going on. They don't know if they're going to have power resume tonight, but this is the peculiarity of the bizarre weather going on. It says here, the winds that caused this outage were not typical thunderstorm winds. Instead, they were a result of what meteorologists refer to as a wake low pressure, which can create strong gusts of wind behind a line of thunderstorms, according to Michael Fish, meteorologist at WTMJ Channel 4 in Milwaukee. See, there's new phenomena cropping up as these bizarre weather events ensue, and this could be interrelated, of course, to the passage of Planet X. I also wanted to remind folks that John Moore has got a new show on shortwave. It's on Thursday nights from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time on the global shortwave station WWCR out of Nashville on 9.350 megahertz. That's 9.350 megahertz. Now, John's show comes on an hour before McCanny starts, and this is all broadcast on Tower 2 at WWCR. So I thought I'd just throw that in because John Moore is my associate, a research associate, and I like to keep him on the... And he's part of the team here, so I like to keep people up to date on what he's up to. I also seen that this character out there named Lucas, he's got some pretty incredible information to share with the public about this upcoming cosmic event that's coming our way. That's what Lucas refers to it as, is a cosmic event. He's got a newer website he just put up called rabbithole2.com. Rabbit, of course. And then hole. H-O-L-E, the number 2.com. And he's got some up-to-date information on such things as fireballs crashing into the atmosphere where the latest volcanoes are going off, and pertinent information that this audience needs to be apprised of as far as Earth changes go. And I see, I did want to make a clarification here. I used John DiNardo on these sound bites I'm making. He refers quite frequently to this Jesse Ventura True TV episode called Apocalypse 2012. He mentions that there was this guy at the Cheyenne Mountain facility named Chief of Security Colonel Wynn. I actually reviewed that episode again. His name is actually... Or his title, excuse me, is Deputy Commander of the NORAD facility. It's not Chief of Security. So just a little clarification there. I also got a really neat email that John DiNardo put out here quite a few days ago. I'd like to read it to my audience. It's the best one I've seen my friend John right so far. And by the way, John is going to become a new host on this network. I thought I'd share that with the audience. He's my production manager or network boss or whatever title you want to attach to him, is just waiting for some CDs to come in the mail from my friend John, and then he'll be getting a more idea of a firm date as to when John DiNardo will start on this network. Anyway, I'm going to read this article John DiNardo put out Wednesday. Here it is. Take this for what it's worth, folks. I mean, who knows what is really going on down there in the Gulf of Mexico. Now I'm being told by this person, Percy, on my email list, that this whole thing's a psyops in the Gulf. There ain't even any oil spewing out, but who knows? I thought I'd read this for what it's worth. This approaching brown dwarf star is plausibly as massive as 10 to 12 Jupiter masses. That is as much mass as about 3,200 Earths. This estimation makes sense to me, considering that most sources we have heard from believe that it is a brown dwarf star. Now, Dr. Robert S. Harrington, formerly the chief astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory, did say, quote, it's a nice good planet. So, folks, it seems that he did not realize then, way back in 1991, while it was way out in deep space, that it is likely a brown dwarf star. However, attached above is a JPEG photocopy of the actual front page Washington Post article, December 30th, 1983, which I photocopied from the archives at my county library. And if anybody would like a copy of that JPEG photocopy, just shoot me an email, gem3intucson@q.com. That's gem3intucson@q.com. Now, this article from the Washington Post announces the discovery of a celestial body possibly as large as Jupiter. Moreover, possibly a protostar, which is a brown dwarf dark star, which by definition is at least 13 Jupiter masses. Elaborating on the estimations below, well, that's from a previous email, as this brown dwarf star accelerates into our inner solar system, being gravitationally attracted to our sun, its enormous magnetic forces are increasingly boiling and churning the Earth's magnetic core, while this brown dwarf star's enormous gravitational pull is plucking upon Earth's crustal surface, buckling seabeds, such as in the Coral Sea and in the Gulf of Mexico, generating sinkholes all over China, and generating unprecedentedly frequent high-magnitude earthquakes. Now, at least 3 years ago, Mark, a veteran of the Persian Gulf War who maintains contact with certain acquaintances in the government, told my friend John that a geologist friend with the U.S. Geological Survey told John's friend Mark that they were surveying the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico for great oil drilling opportunities, and that they expect to see land masses rising up from the Gulf of Mexico seabed. So it seems that pieces of this puzzle are fitting together. The global power elite foresaw the Gulf of Mexico seabed rising. Then they were overcome with oil greed, but knew that in the next few years they would have to flee the Gulf when the newly popping undersea volcanoes start to break out like hives all over the planet. And they knew that in order to forestall, not preempt, public panic, they would have to make it look as if corporate recklessness had caused the Gulf of Mexico to burst up bleeding. Because if the people were to discern that natural disasters are exploding all over the earth, then these power elite controllers of the masses would have the reins of global enslavement abruptly yanked out of their greedy fists as the docile masses panic into a state of crazed chaos and defiant rejection of tyrannical tethers. Okay, the power elite are scared because they know that there is no way that they can keep the global masses from panicking as this approaching brown dwarf star, formerly by the world's community of astronomers, increasingly molests the Earth's land masses, seabeds, and molten magnetic core. The elite can only forestall public panic for a short while, and it is becoming conspicuous that their plan B is to go underground, a fact which Governor Jesse Ventura has vividly documented with his True TV film footage of the elite's elaborate underground cities beneath the Denver airport and deep within the bowels of Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado. this brown dwarf star's plasmatic electrified gas coma is both electrostatically and electromagnetically exciting the sun, provoking the sun to sneeze forth blasts of solar flares, which the National Academy of Science and NASA officially state will likely damage or destroy the world's power grids and the associated electronic global canopy overdraping modern civilization's luxurious bed of comfort. The result, folks, will be abrupt regression to primitive life for anyone who can shelter themselves from the lethal solar scorching. Those of us who do not protect ourselves from the solar scorching will not have to worry about primitive living. Conversely, though, the power elite have long been prepared to weather the coming solar scorching by making us pay for their underground shelters. Although the National Academy of Sciences and NASA say that 2012 is the year to expect this solar scorching, the sun will not switch from normal to scorching in an instant like the flipping of a light switch. Rather, the solar scorching is already gradually intensifying. It's imperative that we, the citizens of the human race, establish a widespread correspondence network in an effort to protect ourselves from the coming scorching, since the power elite told Governor Jesse Ventura that the people are welcome to knock all day long on those multi-ton underground steel doors. And then keep in mind, folks, the movie Knowing graphically depicts this solar scorching, and the YouTube link is given here. So I really wanted to get that out of the way. I thought that was the best article I've read by John DiNardo so far, and it does make sense. Anyway, I'm going to go back to the soundbite here. I pretty much have everything covered. So we'll go back to the soundbite with Nancy Leader.
And that's why astronomers have taken, it's just dark sky. Our sun and its binaries do not dance. We don't twirl, you know, around each other. It's a stationary binary setup. So consequently, there's no proof that our sun is, but almost all suns are binary, you know. So it's kind of logical that it would be there.
Well, I know that I got this guy I communicate in emails a lot with named Gilbert Erickson, and he says that Wormwood is actually between Scorpius and Sagittarius right now, and it's out there coming up south of the plane of the ecliptic by Jupiter.
So what proof does he have? None. It's a theory. And this is my point. You know, the Zetas came out in 1995 saying, here's where Planet X is, and here's where you're going to find it when you look, and here's where it's going to be in March of 1997, and here's what it's going to do. And we tracked it in. You know, as I said, infrared, CCD imaging, comparing to star charts, sighting it, you know, dozens of people on three different continents, on several different countries, and this is all a matter of a record, and now it's next to the sun. This is not a theory. Here's another one. Our Earth's magnetosphere, you know, with the magnetic simulator in Japan, you know, it's normally blown out. You know, the solar wind brings the solar, and the Earth's magnetosphere is not nice and round, you know, with the flow out from the North Pole wrapping around to the South Pole. It looks weird. It's very compressed toward the sun, and then it fans out like a wing, you know, and then it turns around and fans in like another wing on the South Pole. So it looks almost like a bird in flight, you know. But anyway, all twisted to where the North Pole stuff doesn't fan out. It goes directly south, and the South Pole stuff seems to be coming from the north and diving in, and they crisscross each other, and sometimes the South Pole disappears altogether. No red lines at all on the bottom, and I've got this all on my website. And when this first started showing up in 2009, I went to Space Weather and said, is there some reason coming from the sun? The sun was asleep, you know, like no CMEs, no sunspots, the solar wind, like practically undetectable, right? And this is all a matter of record, right? And it has no relationship to what's going on in the sun. But it does have a relationship to a lot of earthquakes that we would experience and that type of thing. And this is Planet X between us and the sun, pointing its north pole toward us. and tangling our magnetosphere with its. And that's another physical evidence. Then there was about, I don't know, was it 2007, that then NASA was announcing, oh, the Earth's magnetosphere has a hole in it, you know, on the sort of to the south, just a little south of the ecliptic where Planet X was coming up, you know, and it's about four times the size of the Earth. Well, guess what? Planet X is four times the size of the Earth, you know, and the evidence is just screaming that it's there and that the Zetas have been right. So when somebody comes out with some theory saying, well, I think it's out there near blah, 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 I say, who cares what this person thinks? That's just a theory.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure where Gilbert gets that information. I know he told me he was in touch with some black ops sources, but they weren't very forthcoming with him.
Right, and maybe they're telling him complete bull. Here's the thing. If you want to spread this information, if you want to, you know, have everybody stop looking at the sky, you know, the chemtrails are out there trying to make you stop looking at the sky. And they, you know, they come out, they lay it down, the foggy smear drifts and over a city, and come sunrise or sunset when they might be looking to see the second sun, they can't see nothing.
Do you think
it's
that's
like
the
fog.
Do you think that's the sole purpose of the chemtrails?
Yeah, at the current time, it used to be they were practicing making people sick, you know, but now it's being used to fog up the sky, right, so you don't look for Planet X, right? Because it's there, you know, and people, the pictures keep flooding in and the videos and the like. Terrific video last April from just south of Moscow where the Russian astronaut program trains, I'm told by my Russian contacts there, and it was obviously very professionally done by someone who knew what they were doing, and it's almost like they wanted to leak the information. They took over a 23-minute period, starting and stopping the video. They took a picture of the sunset, and you could see Planet X in its various stages. It goes behind a cloud, clearly not a lens flare. In order to make this clear that it's not a lens flare, he would move the camera and create a lens flare and then move it all over. The lens flare was all up, but not that object to the right of the sun during the sun, setting sun. Terrific video. Everybody examined it, said, this is not forged, this is not doctored, it's the real thing. You know, it's beyond question. And yeah, they want to feed Gilbert this garbage, you know, because he'll say, woo, and he send emails out, and he gets people like you and your buddy, you know, De Niro, to say, oh, and send the email out, and people get all excited, you know, and they say, oh, this must be true, you know, especially if it's got some semblance of relationship to officialdom. This is a leak. I'm telling you, a leak. The moon is made of green cheese. Ooh, spread the word. I heard it from somebody who's official. They said, well, you know, this is disinformation, and it's deliberate.
Okay, folks, we're coming in the bottom of our break. You're listening to The Light of Day on Orion. Stay tuned. Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day, coming to you live Saturday night, June 26, 2010, this day. We're broadcasting live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. You're not going to hear my sound any. You're not going to hear my voice anymore for the rest of the show. I'm going to finish up this Nancy Leader thing. There's maybe 15 minutes left, and then I'm going to initiate the new Wormwood promotional soundbite that I created this morning. I won't be able to finish that whole soundbite, but we'll just try to get most of it in there before the show wraps up. I also wanted to mention that John DiNardo is going to be starting his own show here on this network, and I wanted to read the email from my network boss. He said today, he's also going to be on Jimmy X's radio show on Oracle Network sometime within the next couple of weeks. John is sending my boss all of John's shows on CD, and we'll begin playing them Sunday nights at 9 o'clock and then again Monday morning at 2 o'clock, and I'm assuming that's Eastern time. As soon as my boss gets the CDs from John, he will have a definite start date. My boss is going to let me know on this and also be putting some type of posting on my own website to inform the masses out there of this. And also, the icons on my homepage, folks, for the DSL streams, those were the HTML coding for those is set at 48, but for some odd reason they were putting the streams were going out at 16 kilobytes off my website, so I went in and fixed the coding for those DSL streams. So you should be hearing this show off my website at 56 kilobytes per second if you just want to check it. 56 is much better than 16. Anyway, back to the soundbite, and I probably won't have time to come back on here, but I'll be back next weekend, of course. So enjoy the rest of the show, folks.
You know, say, oh, and send email out, and people get all excited, you know, and they say, oh, this must be true, you know, especially if it's got some semblance of relationship to officialdom. This is a leak. I'm telling you, a leak. The moon is made of green cheese. Ooh, spread the word. I heard it from somebody who's official. They said, well, you know, this is disinformation, and it's deliberate.
Do you recall back in early 2008, Professor McCanny had a theory that these volcanoes that went off down in Chile, which happened during the month of May, I believe, is when the prime time in the southern latitudes when you can view Planet X, he had a theory that they made them volcanoes go off so they could obscure the sky so people couldn't see it in that month.
Well, the reason I don't buy any of that is McCanny's one of these people who has a theory that it's out there somewhere and apparently has never been to my website, you know. And I don't know why they don't go there and just look at all the evidence, because the public does. You know, that's why I'm being translated into 21 different languages and known all over the world.
Oh, Nancy, because, what McCanny is saying is that there is no evidence of a single incoming Planet X object at this time. He says there's literally thousands or millions of them out there. That's what he's saying now.
Well, whatever, but you know, he won't say that it's in the inner solar system, which it is since 2003. It's always out there somewhere, and they're all speculating where, and they'll make a big deal about, oh, we got all these astronomers down in the South Pole, they're looking out there, and I said, why don't they look over their shoulder, it's next to the sun. You know, it's all to keep you from thinking that it's a long way out. It's like 2012 moving to 2013. Don't worry, it's not here, it's all theory, and whatever you do, don't listen to Nancy. You know, these guys either buy it, or in some cases I think they're leaned on. In some cases I think they're told, we want you to spread this bullshit. Pardon me if I used a wrong term, but we're going to break your kneecaps, you know, and then they go, I think that's what goes on with Hoagland.
Well, Gilbert, he does admit that Planet X is part of our solar system. He says it's not coming into it, it's part of it.
Well, that's his theory, but he's not looking at the obvious evidence, as I said.
So you're saying it's not part of our solar system?
Oh, sure it is.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with him, but if he's saying it's not here yet, it's not inbound or it hasn't arrived yet, that's wrong. But even Van Flandern and Harrington said that. Even that article that was published in the front page Washington Post in 1983 said that. They said it could be as close so as to be a member of our solar system. Or it could be something very hot but very far away. We just don't know. And that was the way the article went.
My friend John DiNardo brought up a great point when that went out in those six mainstream publications in 1983.
Yeah.
John told me this yesterday, that it was alluded that it could be a protostar, which would mean it would have to be at least the size of Jupiter, according to that article.
Well, sure, they were speculating, and they said it might be a planet of our solar system very close at hand. It might be very far away or be a protostar, you know, or very hot and but very far away. And they have several speculations like that. But it's not the size of Jupiter. It's Van Flandern said five times Earth's size. And the Zeta said four times Earth's size, you know, diameter. And that's the hole in the southern magnetosphere, times Earth's size.
But then again, that's what they were thinking, but the photographic plates were never sent back to Washington, D.C., that Harrington had dispatched down to, what is it, New Zealand, so he never really did find out.
No, but this was based on a lot of their evidence, you know, that they thought it was five times. Van Flandern had a reason to say they thought it was that size. So we don't have all the material that they were working with because a huge cover-up descended to the point of ridiculousness, where they were for years going out to find Nemesis out there, and they said something is perturbing the planets, right? And they sent up an infrared balloon to find it, and you know, and all that. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, never mind, it was a mistake. It was a mathematical error. Wait a minute, the reason you arrived at the perturbations in the first place was via math, right? And that, you know, and I mean, astronomers for centuries had been looking in that direction, knowing that there was something that was perturbing the outer planets in that direction. And so it had nothing to do with math. It was basically an observation, obvious. Then they said, if we tweak the math a little bit, the perturbations go away. I don't think so. But they are still bending themselves into pretzels, trying to keep it from the public. Let me ask you, Sheldon, what do you think is going to happen when the truth is out?
Well, I think people will go to work and, you know, exactly what you've stated.
They would lose control. The people that are, you know, around in limousines and their, you know, their suits, and they're important, and people snap to attention and open doors for them and all that. They have security and they have a lot of... Nobody, you know, they'd lose all that. They would be passed down to be with a common man. They would have to learn how to hoe a row of corn or milk a cow.
Well, John Moore did make a good point when he said that the government even relies on FedEx, so they can't let it all out.
I miss your meaning. You know, they can't. Well, actually, I don't think they don't send this kind of information around, you know, with in paper at all. They meet, according to the Thetas, they only discuss it face to face, not even phone calls, not email, nothing. It's that tightly held. Bilderberger groups, you know, these meetings that they have where they fly across the oceans and chat with each other, and they're discussing this business, but they will not send it by courier. They won't. They're terrified it'll get out.
Oh, okay. Well, did you recall what John Moore said in that video? He said that they can't just shut the whole economy down because of Planet X coming in, because the government depends on, you know, FedEx and things like that to conduct daily state of affairs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, imagine what would happen. If everyone found out that we were going to have a cataclysm, a pole shift, and that your real estate along coastlines was going to be worthless because it was going to be busted by huge tidal waves, and that everything that you're putting in to your 401k or the Social Security, you know, money that you're paying in every month, is never going to be returned to you because money will be worthless, banks won't exist, we're all going to be on the barter system, that type of thing. Why would you want to go to your little job? You know, you would say, well, let's go to Uncle Bob's farm. The heck, I'm just going to walk out on my mortgage here on the house, and I won't go to my job as a plumber taking care of the city's plumbing, and or the, you know, and so the plumbing and the electric doesn't work, and everything falls, you know, fails to function. And the taxes aren't being paid, and all those government employees who are in charge of the cover-up say, oh no, we can't let the public know, they might quit their jobs, not pay taxes, you know. And besides, they want to run off to their bunkers when the time comes. And if you find out about this early, you'll be in your car in the road. Remember those movies where people are trying to get away from the coastlines and the highway's just jammed with cars? Somebody ran out of gas and this and that stops traffic all the way back. And that type of thing. And they want to be able to, what they really want, is similar to the movie 2012. That's the one thing that was accurate about that movie, was the cover-up. And the guy says, when are we going to tell the people? And this guy that was chief of staff or whoever he was, and he was Karl Rove type, you know, very evil, said, when we're all on the ark, then we'll tell people. You know, so it's like, but it's totally too late, you know?
Yeah.
Then they're going to tell people. Because we have, it's our mission to get our, you know, sorry old butts out there, gray-haired men, power-hungry, you know. We have to get there to perpetuate mankind and reestablish our federal government, and to heck with the rest of the world, because, you know, this is the kind of self-importance that they have. You know, we're going to save the world. And, of course, if they would warn people, and people could move inland and start gardens and learn how to raise goats and chickens and all this, and learn how to survive hurricane force winds, which is survivable, you know, then you'd have a good section of the populace. It would be fine. But these people that are in charge now, the elite, they would not necessarily be on top of the pile, and that's what they don't want.
Yeah, I recall at the end of that 2012 movie, the elite were throwing their own members, or preventing them from coming onto the arcs.
They didn't care. They didn't care. It was every man for themselves, yeah. Yeah.
Back to the arc issue. You recall about, this must have been 2 to 3 years ago, there was this politician in Norway that stated that they were building arcs under these bases underneath Norway.
You know, I think I vaguely remember that. I didn't read the article, and then I think, didn't he have to retract? Somebody retracted for him.
I don't recall a retraction, no.
Did they haul him away to the wacky ward? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of thing wasn't going on. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a huge number of underground bases. Mount Weather was one of the first evidences, but in under Denver is a bunch of stuff. Kokomo, Indiana has tunneling that is supposed to be for like a carry-on government, Greenbrier. But down in Houston they have some underground, but of course that's going to be underwater, really foolish. And I think there's just hundreds of places, the Ural Mountains for the Russians.
I don't know how credible you find this Major Sergeant Robert O'Dean to be, but he stated there's a humongous base underneath Fort Huachuca down here in Arizona.
I wouldn't be surprised. I saw him once. The interesting thing was I saw him in San Francisco, and it was before I came here to Wisconsin. I was still living out in San Andreas. One last chance to go to the UFO Expo West and listen to his lecture, and I was watching him for any kind of sign that he knew the truth, right, and was being repressed, and boy, did I get it. And at one point, he completely lost himself. It took about 2 or 3 minutes to compose himself while he was trying not to break down and cry. And what he said is, it made no sense to, in context of what he was lecturing. Everyone in this room is going to be just fine. Everyone in this room is going to be just fine. And then he composed himself and went on with whatever the heck the lecture was. But why would he say that? Because he was in San Francisco and he knew perfectly well what was going to happen to San Francisco. The flood tides in the compressing Pacific, 500 to 600 feet high. The Thetas told me that the force of oppressive water would roll right up over those coastal mountains, which are 2,000 to 3,000 feet high, beautiful redwoods, roll over 20 feet high at the top, plunging down into the Bay Area, and all, you know, water coming from all directions. He knows what's going to happen. And he looked out at the audience and said, oh, these people are all going to die. So then he had to say, everybody's going to be just fine, while he tried to keep himself from crying. Literally.
So he contradicted himself.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yep, and he knows. And they all lie because they know they'll be shot if they don't. You know, they know they'll be... they're given some kind of drug, and oh, the poor thing went insane, you know, and was blathering nonsense. Never mind what they said, you know, they're temporarily insane, and then you'll never get out of the insane asylum or whatever, or you have a stroke or a heart attack. If you haven't said anything, you have a quick stroke or heart attack, yeah.
In the course of all your research on this topic, have you ever come across that Bill Cooper might have come upon this information at some time?
Yeah, and actually Bill Cooper was more right than wrong. I used to think he was completely whacked out, you know, Ride a Pale Horse and his book and all, but he was more accurate in describing MJ-12 than not. And according to the Zetas, he actually began acting crazy because to try to keep himself alive, you know, so people could see he discredited himself. You know, and acted crazy so that people could say, never mind, he's harmless. But they went and shot him anyway. They had some warrant, you know, out for him. Apparently, according to the story, was he pulled a gun on the guy who was going to arrest him, and they shot him dead. But he had already been injured. He was in an auto motorcycle accident, I think. They shot him in the leg, the motorcycle spun out, so they were after him big time.
So are you saying at some point he might have found the Planet X information in the magic documents but never told the public about it?
You know, I don't know about Planet X, but he sure was talking about MJ-12 and the alien presence, yeah, the secret government. And I never remember encountering any discussion about Planet X in the Cooper's material.
Yeah, that's one thing, unfortunately, I've never come across, but if there was somebody that would really have an impact on getting it out to the public, it sure would have been him.
Yeah, he had a following. People sensed the truth there. Yes, they did.
Yeah, he's still one of my biggest fans to this day, believe it or not. I went to his funeral.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who attended? People with dark glasses on, or...
No, it was pretty... It wasn't too big of a crowd. I got to meet Anthony Hilder there. You ever heard of him?
No, haven't.
Oh, okay. But anyway, this hour is pretty much done. Any closing thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, I think we kind of covered it pretty good, and I would encourage people to go to my website, zetatalk.com, and read the safe locations information, and check out my videos on, you know, survival techniques and the like, and the last weeks, the passage, that they're quick and easy, and they get right to the point, a lot of pictures. Check it out, because that's where the truth is.
All right, Nancy, well, thanks for coming on board. We'll probably have you back at some point as the stuff starts to hit the fan more deeper.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
All right, Nancy, you have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This is how the powers that be that are in the know are dealing with this information. Sometimes it slips out, and then they do their best to try to cover their tracks afterwards.
So where is the government in all of this? Aren't they supposed to protect us? We're the taxpayers. They have a defense department that's supposed to defend us. Why hasn't the government notified us that these terrible times are coming? Well, imagine if you were in their shoes. What would you say to people? We're not going to be able to feed you. We're not going to be able to protect you. Masses of people will die. But please pay your taxes anyway. They don't tell you because they don't have a plan. They also don't want to create panic. Up until the last minute, when they're sure this is going to happen and that nothing can be done, they don't want to be the cause of panic. Bank failures, people failing to go to their jobs, industry grinding to a halt. They feel that at least now things are rolling and the wheels of commerce and the like are continuing. So basically, they just don't know how to tell you. It's terrible news. They have no solution. They don't want to cause panic. So paralysis sets in, and nothing is said.
Is it not possible that the government does know more than they are telling us, with theories such as Roswell and aliens visiting us, that there could also be threats from outside our solar system, which we're now being made aware of subtly, like through the movies and media, like Deep Impact or Armageddon, or NASA releasing information saying that an asteroid could whack us in 2028 or thereabouts? It's making the public privy to this information so that they have a case history of events to desensitize us to this information, so that when instantly there is something new in the skies or in the heavens, we're not freaking out.
There is an object right now moving into our solar system, and this information is being kept from the public. The astronomy community is not going to tell you about an impending disaster. In fact, they're under direct orders not to tell you. You know, there's tremendous equipment that has the ability to observe this object. In fact, an entire entourage of objects coming into our solar system.
From sources within the U.S. government that tell me that, yes, they are deeply concerned about it, and they're worried sick about it, and they don't know what to do about it. What could the government or anyone else tell you? What could they say to you?
They had to prepare for it, but keep it out of the public's understanding. Otherwise, there would be panic everywhere. Astronomers are so certain of this planet's existence that they've already named it Planet X. Why have we never been able to see a direct transmission from the Hubble telescope? They're blacked out. Nobody can receive a direct transmission, not over satellite. NASA will never put it on because they're watching. They know something is coming. They spotted it.
The greatest catastrophe in human history is unfolding in front of us. It's a huge crisis, and it's systemic, and it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse and worse. For the first time in recorded astronomical history, the sun lost its magnetic field, its heliosphere.
Good night. Good night, folks. I'll have to wrap that up next week, or I'll put it on my archives page as well. Have a good night. Later.
Is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech, That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM.